for you. I'm going to tell you this story. I'm going to tell you the story of Elijah, the prophet Elijah. It's a kind of a fun, pumpkin story. I want to give you a little background first. In the days of the king, the first king was King Saul, then we have the most famous of all kings of Israel, probably King David. And then his son, King Solomon, who built on David's legacy. But after that period of time, it was a relatively short period of time, the sons and others started to fight over the kingdom, and it split very shortly afterwards. It split into the north, which was Israel, and into the south, which was Judah. And there were a succession of kings after that in both of those kingdoms, Israel and and those kings, some of them were good kings, as the scripture tells us, who followed the ways of God, and some of them were bad kings, who went their own way. And at the same time that there were the kings in both of these kingdoms of Israel and Judah, there were also prophets who would always speak to the king, telling them that they were getting off track. That they need to pay more attention to their people and these exactly. So in scripture, when you have a king, the stories of a king are found in the books of Kings and Chronicles. You also have the prophets later in the Hebrew Bible who existed at the same time as the king. Scripture itself is not chronological. You cannot read through from the beginning to end and find the story moving along in a chronological way. They exist in canon. But there has always been in history great leaders and very poor leaders. We're well aware of that. But it always changes. We can trust that as well. And there have always been in the world prophets who have said, you're not treating your people well. You're not being just. You need to do a better job. And there is still that. So we need to trust God as well. Anyway, in this story, found in 1 Kings chapter 16 to 19, we find a king named Ahab. And he was the worst. He was horrible. A terrible leader. A terrible king. In fact, the Bible says that he did so much evil in the sight of God that God was very angry. Not only was he a terrible leader, he married a terrible woman. Her name you might have recognized as Jezebel. Jezebel was from another country and another tribe, and Jezebel worshipped other gods. And so Ahab, who apparently was smitten with Jezebel, decided he would worship those gods as well. The god Baal, B-A-A-L, Baal, and Asherah. And he set up shrines to these gods. And Jezebel had 450 priests of Baal and 400 priests of Asherah. And they had just one of all of them. In comes Elijah, the prophet. Elijah comes along to Ahab, we hear, and they have a standoff. And Elijah says to Ahab, you are not smart. He thinks that you are a wicked man. And I tell you this, there, God has told me there will not be rain on the land. Not just rain, there will even be dew on this land for a long time to come. And then he got out of town. In fact, God has led him to a wadi across the Jordan, which is a steep gully, and said, you're going to stay here, and you will drink from the water in the wadi, and the ravens will come and feed you. And so, was taken care of. So we showed up in another place and he was taken care of. That's sort of a little aside with the widow and a woman who was sun dried and who brought him back. Eventually, God said, okay, it's time to go and talk to Ahab and tell him what's happening and that there is going to be rain. This was in the third year of a drought. There had been not a drop over that time. So Ahab, in the meantime, was looking for Elijah, because he was not a happy leader. Eventually, through the servant of Ahab, they connected. Elijah and Ahab, standing across from each other, and Ahab said to Elijah, there you are, you troublemaker of Israel. And Elijah said, I'm not the troublemaker, you're the troublemaker. You have not followed God's way. And then Elijah, smackdown of Ahab, said, this is what's going to happen. You call together the people of Israel, and you call together all of the priests of Baal and Asherah, and you meet me at Mount Carmel. And there we're going to see who is God. So Ahab did that. He called together the priests, he called together the people of Israel, and he went to Mount Carmel. And when they got there, Elijah said to the people, okay, folks, why are you limping around with two opinions? That's what he said. Why are you limping around with two opinions? Either God is God and you worship God, or Baal is God and you worship Baal. And you can't worship both. You can't be of two minds here, folks. So here's what's going to happen. You priests of Baal, you create an altar to your God, to Baal, and you will sacrifice a bull, and I will create an altar to God, the only God, to God, and we will see which one will light the fire. So that's exactly what they did. They picked their bull, the prophet of Baal, the priest of Baal, built an altar, put wood on the altar, slaughtered the bull, and threw it on the altar, and away it went, dancing around the altar, saying, oh God, light the fire. You are the true God. And they danced around for hours, till noon. Well, Elijah just couldn't quite help it, and Elijah said to the priest, hey, yell a little louder. Maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe he's gone on a journey. Maybe he's meditating, and he can't hear you. So they did. They danced harder and louder around an altar, and then they started cutting themselves and doing all kinds of things to get God to respond to them, and nothing happened. So later that afternoon, Elijah said, okay, mine. He got 12 stones, and he laid them at the base of the altar, 12 for the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he dug a trench all the way around the stone, put wood on the altar, fixed it all nicely, then took the bowl and put it on the altar, and then prayed. Said, God, you are the one and only God. Please send down the fire upon this sacrifice and show the people that we're God. Fire rained down. Not only was the bull gone, but the wood was gone, the rocks got burned up, the dust around, and water that had been poured into the trench all the way around the altar gone. And the people bowed down and said, yes, God is God. We will worship this God. Elijah said, and don't let the priests get away. So they captured those 450 priests and put them down. down to the valley and killed them all. And Elijah says to King Ahab, okay, you go and eat. It's been a long day. You go and eat, I'm going to pray to God, and it is going to rain. So he went up on top of the mountain again, he prayed, and sent his servants back to look over the water until they saw a cloud coming over the water. And he said to Ahab, okay, better get going, it's going to rain. And it did. It poured. And Elijah says it was so elated that Ahab got in a chariot to go to Jezreel, but Elijah says, girded up his loins and ran in front of the chariot all the way to Jezreel. Elijah's God had overcome God of Baal. Yet when they got to Jezreel, Ahab went into his wife Jezebel and said, and told her what had happened. And she sent the message out to Elijah to say, may the God be upon my head if by this time tomorrow I don't do to you what you did to the priest. And from this literal line, or from this high that Elijah was on, it was an immediate crash, and Elijah got up and ran for his life. And he ran out into the desert for days until he collapsed under a broom tree and said, oh God, why have you left me? I want to die. And we all had no room. Later, he got poked by an angel of God to say, get up. Enough of this. Eat. Let's get going. And there was some food for him. After he'd eaten, he lay down again. I'm still done. After a while, so close. Angel gets him again and says, get up. Get going. Got something to do. So he ate again, and he sustained for 40 days, it says, well, he went on and he went to the mountain. At this point. And he went up on the mountain and he went into a cave and stayed there for a while. Until God said, Elijah, come to the mountain of the cave. And out came Elijah and God said, Elijah, what are you doing? And Elijah said, oh God, I'm your own prophet left. I have been faithful to you. I want to be God. But said, hold on. I'm going to pass by. And so Elijah waited. A huge wind blew up so hard that it's like a hurricane that it cracked the mountains and cracked the rocks. And God was not going to go in. And then it says, an earthquake made the earth tremble, an earthquake came. God was not in the first place. And then fire rained down from the heavens, and God was not in the fire. And then everything went perfectly still. We have lost the capacity to listen to the whispers of God. We still God speak to us. God will not be in the storm of our lives, in the rough places that we experience, in the difficulties of life, if we're not learning how to hear God in the quiet times of our lives. Learning to listen to God is the only way we will get through the storms in our lives and the storms in this world. Blaise Pascal, who was a 17th century French mathematician and philosopher, said that all the unhappiness of men, arises from one simple fact, that they cannot sit quietly in their pain. All of the unhappiness comes from this one simple fact, that we cannot sit quietly. If that's the way it was in the 17th century, when there were a lot less distractions than there are now in the world, how are we going to learn to listen for God's wisdom in our lives? We have to learn to be still and to listen to God, because wisdom and strength and courage only come when we can ground ourselves in ultimate reality. The need for emptying ourselves, for silence and stillness, is something that we all crave in our lives, in our schools. We are quickly becoming crammed with stuff that doesn't matter. Full of materials and ideas and information that's coming out. The amount of information or data that humanity will collect in just a few hours is 5 times greater than the amount that exists in the entire library and archives of Canada. One day we will collect more data now than in the huge library in Canada. The amount of information coming to us, or coming at us perhaps, in one day is more than Shakespeare had in his lifetime. And the more facts that come shooting at us, the less time we have to process any one of them. We cannot be discerning about truth or reality when so much is coming at us. There's a new field in the social sciences I was reading about this week called interruption science. Who knew we needed a field called interruption science? Which is concerned with how interruptions affect human response. And it said this on it, and we can give it to you part. Interruptions in almost all instances are disruptive to performance and induce error. Interruptions induce error. And then went on to say that this is critical in high-risk environments to understand, like aviation, medicine, even vehicle operations. But they said in less critical environments, our regular offices are ready for getting interruptions and induce stress, anxiety, and lead to poor performance. Just interruptions. So here's an interesting statistic. It takes about 25 minutes to recover from a phone call, from the interruption of a phone call on whatever path you're using. 25 minutes to recover. Yes, it says, such interruptions come every 11 minutes. Which means that we are never caught up with our lives, let alone make time and silence. It's little wonder that stress and anxiety and attention disorders are on the rise. Together our communion in one bread.